Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because of her exquisite beauty, her bodily features, her youth, her complexion, and her glories, everyone, including the demigods, the demons, and the human beings, desired her. They were attracted because she is the source of all opulences. Purport. Who in this world does not want to possess wealth, beauty, and the social respectability that comes from these opulences? People generally desire material enjoyment, material opulence, and the association of aristocratic family members. Bhogaishvaya prasaktanam. Material enjoyment entails money, beauty, and the reputation they bring, which can all be achieved by the mercy of the Goddess of Fortune. The Goddess of Fortune, however, never remains alone, as indicated in the previous verse by the word Bhagavat Para. She is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is enjoyable only by Him. If one wants the favor of the Goddess of Fortune, Mother Lakshmi, because she is by nature Bhagavat Para, one must keep her with Narayan. The devotees who always engage in the service of Narayan, Narayana Parayana, can easily achieve the favor of the Goddess of Fortune, without a doubt. But materialists who try to get the favor of the Goddess of Fortune only to possess her for personal enjoyment are frustrated. Theirs is not a good policy. The celebrated demon Ravana, for example, wanted to deprive Ramachandra of Lakshmi Sita and thus be victorious. But the result was just the opposite. Sita, of course, was taken by force by Lord Ramachandra, and Ravana and his entire material empire were vanquished. The Goddess of Fortune is desirable for everyone, including human beings. But one should understand that the Goddess of Fortune is the exclusive property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot achieve the mercy of the Goddess of Fortune unless one prays both to her and to the Supreme Enjoyer, the Personality of Godhead. So the text again, Tasyam chakrus priham sarve sasura sura manava rupau darya vayuvarna mahimakshita chetasa. Because of her exquisite beauty, her bodily features, her youth, her complexion, and her glories, everyone, including the demigods, the demons, and the human beings, desired her. They were attracted because she is the source of all opulences. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskya Dhyade Siddharane. Here are three classes of persons who desire material opulence for mention: the suras, the asuras, and the nara, the ordinary human beings. Because by material opulence, there is some idea that one may be able to enjoy. Of course, this desire to enjoy in the material world is the cause of all suffering. Because it is said that As soon as one, Krishna Bahirmukha Bhoga Vanshatari Nikatastamaya Tari Japitiyadari. Krishna Bahirmukha, as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, Bhoga Vanshatari, then we must be looking for material enjoyment, because our nature is to enjoy. We're going to have to enjoy something. If we're not trying to enjoy in relationship to Krishna, we're going to be trying to enjoy in relationship to his maya. Krishna Bahirmukha Bhoga Vanshatari Nikatista. And the police force, maya, she's right next to us. Daivi Esha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatya Mameva Ye Prabhadyante Mayam Etam Dharandite. She's not far away. She's in our heart along with Krishna. And she knows exactly what we're thinking, what we're desiring. And as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, Maya, who's standing right by us, she slaps us into material consciousness. So how do we know when Maya slaps us into material consciousness? We may not know, because we're always the material consciousness, the conditioned soul. He thinks it's perfectly normal. Where is there a question of falling into Maya when you're already in Maya? All we do is have to ask ourselves, who do I identify myself as being? Do I have some identification with this gross and or subtle material body? If I'm identifying myself to some degree with its gross or a subtle material body, that means I must be under the control of the illusory energy. In proportion to our identification as Krishna's servant, to that proportion we're free from the illusory energy. And to the proportion we're not identified ourselves as Krishna's servant, in proportion as we don't see all this energy around us as belonging to Krishna, to that proportion we're under the control of the illusory energy. One can be partially Krishna conscious, or one can be fully Krishna conscious, or one could be Krishna unconscious. And we may go from one state to the next. It is not that if I change my dress or my address, then automatically I become a pure devotee. It is a question of consciousness. And it is not suddenly I distribute so many numbers of books, or I do so much waves of the incense stick, and the magic fairy comes and blesses me, and there's no more illusion. It's a gradual development and understanding of the fact, as Krishna says, Vihaya Kamayak Sarvam Pumam Charati Nispriha Nirmamo Nirahankara Sushanti Madhigachiti. One who lives free from all desire for sense gratification, who lives free from all desire, material desire, who gives up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. And what is the general allurement in the material nature? It's not very difficult to understand. It is women and wealth. In Kali Yuga, there is no dharma, practically speaking. They think dharma is to make, if you make money, you're religious. Money, money, sweeter than honey. The professional soldier, the thief, and the merchant, they'll risk their very lives to get some money. Prabhupada said, two gentlemen are talking. One gentleman asks the other gentleman, are you intelligent? So he puts his hand in his pocket to see if he has any money. And if he has money, then he concludes he must be intelligent. In Kali Yuga, there is only economic development for sense gratification. Of course, because people have no idea or very little idea how to gratify their senses, therefore, although they're trying to so-called economically develop, what does wealth mean in Kali Yuga? If you can buy a plastic car, plastic and metal car, then you're considered to have some wealth. They don't take care of the cow that's giving real wealth in the form of milk. They have a car. Of course, when they run out of the milk and grains, then they can eat their car. Or they can milk their automobile and get some oil from it and drink that. They have no idea what wealth is. They don't understand that their activities in the material world for so-called happiness are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Beginning with eating. If they don't eat, they may sleep, but they'll sleep for a long, long time. They won't wake up, in this body at least. So eating is the most important activity. Some people still understand that, but the majority of the people, they eat anything. Like in China, they say, people in China, they'll eat anything that on the ground except for a tank. They'll eat anything that floats in the water except for a Chinese junk. And anything that flies in the sky except for a kite. So anything and everything has suddenly become food. However, it may be genetically modified or irradiated or whatever, chemically sprayed, insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, so many sides. People accept this as just normal. This is progress. Until finally there won't be any food left. They'll simply be eating each other. And they think that's progress. Too many people on the earth were doing everyone a favor, reducing the population. But this is all due to the fact that people don't know what is the actual standard of sense gratification. They don't know fresh food, clean water, fresh air, nice relationships, peaceful life. This is the basis of actually gratifying the senses and the mind. But because they're in the mode of ignorance, therefore, darashayaye bahi arthamanina, they take something completely insignificant as very important. Therefore, although it talks in this verse about wealth, but they don't even know what wealth is. And what to speak of beauty. They have no idea of devotion. They have no idea of actual beauty. They have no idea of what actually opulence is. Their knowledge and whatever else, as Queen Kunti said, Janmaishvarya Shuta Shribir Edamanak Madakpuman Naivahat Yadavudatum Vai Tvam Akinshina Gochara. They're mad after so-called Aishvarya, so-called wealth, opulence. Janma, they think if they take birth in a Western country, that's an elevated birth. Janmaishvarya, Shruta, so-called learning. If I can go to college and learn that black is actually white and white is actually black, then I become learned. No information about the soul, no information about the Supreme Soul, no information about how to become free from our misunderstanding of identifying ourselves with the body. No, the more ignorance I'm in, the more they honor me with a degree. As they say, PhD means plow it higher and deeper. Because Natevidu Swaratikatim hi Vishnu. They don't know they actually need Vishnu. The aim of life is to obtain Vishnu, not to become covered more and more by the illusory energy. But they're mad after Janma Aishvarya Shruta and Shribi. We're already intoxicated by our identification with this gross and subtle material body. It's not a gift for our enjoyment. It's in a prison due to our rebellious nature. Yasyam yayam samohita jiva atmakam trigunatmakam paropi manyate narata tat kritam pratipadyate. Srila Vyasadeva, when he was meditating on Lord Krishna, he saw Bhakti Yogini Manasi Samyak Pranihita Male Paisha Purusham Purnam Maya Chattara Pashrayam. He saw the Supreme Lord and he was completely pure, independent of any influence of the illusory energy. However, on the backside of Krishna was Maya, taking shelter of him. And what about ourselves? If we could see a snapshot, if Vyasadeva had taken a snapshot for Facebook of all the living entities in this world, what would we see? We go to Vyasadeva's Facebook page and we see, oh, there I am. And the illusory energy, completely bewildered. The full avatar, Mudha avatar. Coming to the material world as a complete fool, suffering the threefold miseries, being afflicted by old age, disease, and death, adiatmaka, adibodhika, adiklesha, miseries, and thinking we're making progress, thinking we're a great personality. Look at my illusion. Isn't this great? You got a small illusion. I got a bigger one. So this is called, we're already intoxicated by our material identification with this body and mind. And then when we hanker for more and more wealth, more and more influence in the world, more and more so-called knowledge, so-called position, then we become completely mad, crazy. And when a madman, he can't chant Hare Krishna. He's simply chanting, money, money, money. Where is the money? Where is the sense gratification? Therefore, the conditioned soul, although he may be bound by the illusion of identifying himself with the body, somehow or another, if he understands his relationship with Krishna, even understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then gradually he can make progress towards the liberation from the material concept of life. Just by that understanding, although one may be addicted to material sense gratification and mental speculation, still, if one understands that the goal of life is Krishna, then gradually he can make progress. So that's called karma yoga. Krishna said, yat kuroshi yat ashnasi yat jahosi dadasi yat yat tapasi kuntiya tat kurushva vinarpana. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering to me. So knowing we're more or less under the influence of the illusory energy, we can offer something to Krishna. And that way, by offering something to Krishna, then we can identify it with Krishna. Then Krishna is present in that identification. Then not only we have the opulence of Sri, who's manifested this material world, but then along with Sri, we have Krishna, Narayan. And then we're protected. Then we can make progress towards waking up. Therefore, Narto Pasamam Sakshat Bhakti Yogada Hokshade Lokasya Janato Vidmam Chakri Satyata Samhita. Therefore, the learned Srila Vyasadeva has given us the Srimad Bhagavatam so we can be constantly reminded that everything in this world is actually Krishna's energy. And everyone by nature is Krishna's servant. And that we should do something for Krishna. Whether Krishna gives us the opulence of the goddess of fortune, or we wind up as Sudama before he got any benediction from the goddess of fortune. Practically, he didn't have anything to eat, enough to eat, nor clothes. But he was absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he didn't live in this material world. Like Raghunath Das Goswami, he was eating one little pad of buttermilk every other day. Obviously, he wasn't a big earner. If he came nowadays, they would arrest him, put him in jail for being unproductive, parasite on society, breathing our air without giving anything in return. But although he was so poor, he could only eat one little pad of buttermilk every other day. Still, it is said that in the spiritual world, where he was existing in his spiritual body, every day he had three big feasts prepared by Srimati Radharani. And therefore, in the spiritual world, he was getting fat, although here he was getting a little thinner. So we can actually imagine the actual opulences of a person who's self-realized, who's living in the spiritual plane of existence. Because we think that this illusory plane is reality. The dream that we're having, identifying with this body, we think that's real, and someone who's awakened, we think he's sleeping. If we can understand the necessity of associating ourselves with Krishna, then we have to understand the process to give back the stolen goods to Krishna. One time I was in Dallas, Texas. Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and we were in a park called White Rock Lake Park. It's in Dallas. And it's a very big park, and there's a big lake right in the middle. And on the other side of the lake, there's a big mansion, and it's owned by the family now of Howard Hughes. So Howard Hughes, at the time when we were on the morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, he was the richest person in the world at that time. He estimated he had around $16 billion, which is probably 100 times now. The devotees went up, they told Prabhupada, we went to give him a Bhagavad Gita, but we were stopped at the gate by the guards, although they were very friendly, so they say they could take the book and give it to Howard Hughes. But they couldn't directly meet Howard Hughes. Prabhupada asked the devotees, well, if you could have seen Howard Hughes, what would you have told him? One of the devotees said, that dear Howard Hughes, we're very model citizens and we're doing good work. Could you give us a donation? Another devotee said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So Prabhupada said, no, If I could have seen Howard Hughes, I would have said, my dear Howard Hughes, you've made so much money through oil. But one day, the agents of God will come and they'll take you away and punish you for stealing from God. So give back your stolen goods. So the devotees were quite surprised how strongly Srila Prabhupada was preaching. Later on, Prabhupada showed that same style of preaching when he was on a morning walk on the roof of Mayapur. And he was surrounded by his disciples and some life members. This is the Long Building in the early 70s. One of the devotees introduced Srila Prabhupada to a life member who was dressed in khadi, white khadi with a narrow hat and white khadi on. And the devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, this is Mr. So-and-so. He's the owner of a big factories. So Prabhupada said, oh, very nice. Prabhupada folded his hands and said, very nice. What kind of factories do you have? He said, I own glass factories. Very proud. He was a factory owner. So Prabhupada said, oh, how nice. Glass factories. Where does glass come from? So the man said, oh, glass comes from sand, Swamiji. Oh, glass comes from sand. But where does the sand come from? So the man said, the man was a little pious. He said, oh, Swamiji, sand comes from Bhagavan. So Prabhupada's eyebrows raised up and said, oh, so you're stealing from Bhagavan. So the man was a little embarrassed. He disappeared for the rest of the walk. Later on, at the end of the walk, he came up very enthusiastically to Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, I want you to know that I give in charity. So Prabhupada smiled at him and raised his eyebrows again and said, oh, so you're a little thief. So everyone laughed, including this man. So we think by nature, because we're spiritual souls, everyone thinks they're a nice person. Whoever we are, whoever we're doing. That famous story, if you can read it in the history of America, there was Two Gun Pete. You've heard of Two Gun Pete before? Among certain associates, he's very famous. He was a famous gangster in America. And he was famous because he was a professional assassin and he killed his victims with two guns. One day he was on Lover's Lane enjoying Leela with his girlfriend when one unfortunate policeman disturbed the Leela by shining his flashlight into the car. Two Gun Pete took this as a great offense and shot the policeman. Unfortunately, he only had one gun at the time. So he got out of the car and took the policeman's gun and shot him again just to protect his reputation as Two Gun Pete. The other police who were in the area did not appreciate Two Gun Pete divine acts. And therefore they chased him into his hideout where there was a blazing gun battle. Before Two Gun Pete was finally, his Leela came to an end, he wrote a letter to his mother and said, my dear mom, actually I'm a nice person. Unfortunately people misunderstand me. Please take care of the cat. Your son, P.T. So everyone thinks they're a nice person, but actually everyone in this world is actually a thief, stealing from God. And we're being chastised by being identified with this prison called the material body, being forced to serve the illusory energy by lust, anger, greed, madness, delusion, envy, and we think we're doing all right. It's the other people who have to correct themselves. They're in a bad situation. So this is called illusion. The only way of getting out of the illusion is that whatever we have, whatever talents we may have, we have to engage them in the Sankirtan movement. Etam sushushitam brahmams tapa traya trikshitam yad bhavati yad ishvare bhagavati brahma bhaviti bhavitam. Oh, learned, best of the learned, it is positively concluded that the remedial measure to get free from all the miseries of the material energy is to utilize everything in the service of Krishna. Prabhupada writes in the purport, if one is a Brahmin, if one has some intelligence, if one can add 1 plus 1 and get 2 rather than 5, then one should try to utilize that intelligence to convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not to convince others how learned and intelligent I am, but to convince people that Krishna is actually the person who's learned and intelligent, that he's the Supreme Person. If one has some ability to organize things, then one should help organize the Sankirtan movement, spread Krishna consciousness. If one has some material opulences and wealth, those should also be utilized in the service of Krishna for spreading Krishna consciousness. And what will be the result? What's the benediction one will receive? One will develop a taste, the hearing and chanting about Krishna. And in association with Krishna, one will live in the spiritual platform. One will enter into the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna lives in this world by his glories. And if we live in those glories, then we'll live with Krishna even in this world. The perfect soul, whether he does everything or he does nothing, he's always with Krishna. And therefore, nimitra matram bhavasavasachin, he simply is. In this world, he acts as a servant of Krishna, as an instrument. Therefore, that's our goal, to become an instrument for Krishna, and that will allow us to appreciate Krishna's glories, to actually become absorbed in experiencing what it means to chant Hare Krishna and to associate directly with Krishna through the sound vibration of Krishna's name, which is non-different from Krishna, which within our heart will expand to Krishna's forms, experiencing his quality, his associates, his pastimes, the internal energy in its multi-manifestations. But if one utilizes this energy for one's sense gratification, then one will never develop a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. One will never be able to associate with Krishna in that way. And one will simply associate with the illusory energy and suffer the threefold miseries in so many different species of life, all the while thinking one is great, one is making progress, and happiness is just around the corner. Just one more step away. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Any comments? Yes. 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 Perhaps. That Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishna. So they're different colors. According to the conception of the Varna and Ashram, the modes of nature have different colors. The mode of goodness is supposed to be white, the mode of passion, red, etc. So, and everyone according to their, one is divided into the varanas according to the modes. So in that way, varna takes on the idea of mode. Because we understand, but for instance, it's not that if one is has a black complexion, one is in the mode of ignorance. Because Vyasadeva had a black complexion, he was purely good. But it's just the signification of the modes of nature. There are particular colors. Yes.